Brendan Dillon's plus minus is amazing. He should have gone instead. Brendan Dillon deserves to be at the All-Star game instead of Erik Karlsson, and I firmly believe that.
What were you saying about let it go, move on?
I don't care. This is the hill I'm willing to die on, AJ.
Hey now, happy new year. It is show 59 of the Pucknologist here on Fieldtown, USA. I'm your host, AJ Strong, and of course, joining me, we have Rocket Backhander.
Hey, what's up?
There's a lot, sup. Remember to subscribe to the cast on SoundCloud or the podcast platform of your choice. If you're on iTunes, give us some love on there. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel, of course, to check out Fieldtown After Dark, the only live and interactive Sharks post-game show on YouTube. And feel free to leave a comment on SoundCloud or YouTube, and we'll do our best to answer those. And as always, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at TealTownUSA. So let's do that hockey. It's the week in Sharks hockey right now. The Sharks, over their last five, went 2-1-2. Good right now for 21-13-7 and 49 points. Sharks have fallen to third in the division, one back of Vegas, three back of Calgary, fourth in the division. The Sharks took 6 of 10 possible points during a 5-game stretch versus the Pacific Division, leaving those 2 points on the table versus LA and Arizona. Not the best. But let's get into the week that was. A 4-2 victory versus Anaheim was the first one. Burns gets the game-winning goal in his 1,000th game. Hurdle picks up his 200th NHL point. John Gibson mysteriously pulled after the first period. No real explanation why. I think some speculated he might have taken one off the dome. Hurdle at center for this one and was arguably the worst line for the Sharks. observations on this one, those were pretty much it. Solid play. I think Anaheim starting to kind of, are they unable to sustain, Rocket? Unsustainable. I know that's one of your favorite keywords.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on with Anaheim. I haven't really been able to keep track much of anything that's going on in the Pacific Division or anywhere else in the NHL really for the last 7 days. So I'm really out of the loop. Couldn't tell you.
All right. We'll bring you in for Shark Bites.
Great.
So following Anaheim, things start to get kind of interesting for Team Teal. A 7-4 victory at Edmonton. Oilers coming into this one on a 4-game skid. Well, make it 5 thanks to the Sharks. Hurdle continues at center, this time looking far better. Some interesting officiating in this one where Ty Ratty would score a goal, then somehow it's reviewed, then somehow it's given to McDavid. It's all very, very weird. In fact, we did an interview with Drew Remenda the day after that game, and even he could not figure that out. His producer couldn't figure that out. But go check out that interview. Couture and Melker both score twice in this one, while EK65 has a 4-point night and goes +5 on the evening. So, of course, the headline on ESPN for this is McDavid dominates Sharks with 2 goals. Okay. Jones would give up 3 goals in the final 8 minutes. I don't know if he got a little sleepy or dopey, but hey, the Sharks won their first matinee of this game or of this season after going 0-3 for the previous ones. For this one, for like the 3 observations, I sit there and go, well, okay, the Sharks beat up on a team they're supposed to beat up on. Edmonton is just in tatters right now. Immediately following this game, they made a series of trades that everybody in Edmonton is questioning. I'm surprised Chiarelli has not been ceremoniously run out of Alberta. I don't know how he still remains employed. Following that one, though, the Sharks would go to Calgary, and holy hell, did it all go south really, really fast. Facing the best of the Pacific Division, Aaron Dell gets the starts. He's got a history of doing well versus Calgary, got a lot of family there, and the refs would lose control of this one early. They couldn't remember what high sticking was at one point, where you see a guy go into the box, out of the box, back into the box. And it would all end with Sam Bennett laying out Radim Šimek, who will miss at least 1 game due to concussion, probably more. Burns' worst game in quite some time. And aside from everything else, there was Dell spearing Bennett when he was coming across the crease in the final minute of the game. That, I think, is probably what set Bennett off and why he went after Schimmick. But I think the bigger question in this that not a lot of people are talking about, why did Brendan Dillon, who leads the team in plus-minus, who is a large swath of a human being, why is he only getting 950 of time on ice? Why is he not out there in the third period? I'm just saying, why is that? Rocket, how pissed off were you about that? Your boy. How is he not getting any ice time? What the hell is going on? Because Peter DeBoer came out and said it wasn't an injury. It was coach's decision. What kind of decision is that?
It's the coach's decision not to disclose injuries that players don't want disclosed.
Oh, I suppose.
Come on, AJ. How long have you been a hockey fan? This is straight up gamesmanship. Like, you don't talk about injuries. So, like, I don't think Brendan Dillon is being benched because he messed up somewhere. That's not something that would happen at this point in time. Like, there's stuff going down they don't want to talk about. It's not our business as fans. Let's move on and stop making molehills out of things that aren't even, like, swimming pools. There.
Well, I think one of the reasons why maybe a mountain was made out of this molehill is that after this game, there were two tweets on Twitter. One of them being, why is it that Brendan Dillon, with the best plus minus on the team, has only played 955 tonight? PDB continues to give Burns, Vlasic, and Braun big minutes. WTF.
From whom?
Somebody on Twitter. Hold on. Let me make my point. The second tweet was also, why the F is PDB not putting Dillon out there?
Okay. Either of these questions from accounts with blue check marks behind their names?
No, but you make a great point. They were both liked. Both of those tweets were liked by somebody with a blue check mark. His name, Brendan Dillon. Mysteriously unliked the next day. Makes you wonder. But I'm not sure why Brendan Dillon would like both of those if he didn't agree. Just saying. Wonder what's going on there.
I don't think there's anything there.
Okay. But either way, the big, of course, story was Sam Bennett getting nothing from the Department of Player Safety. The fun thing about this is the Sharks have been involved in three solid hits over the last 10 days or so. You had Erik Karlsson getting suspended for 2 games for his hit. You have Oliver Ekman-Larsson with the hit on LeBanc that received nothing. And now you have the hit from Sam Bennett on Radim Šinek, which received nothing. The funny thing is, I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying it's funny to notice that the one call where the guy got suspended was not called a penalty in the game. The shot from OEL on LeBanc was called a penalty. Clearly Sam Bennett running Radim Šinek is a penalty. But I find it funny that the one guy who got suspended, it wasn't even called a penalty in the game. It's just very funny. But from Pete DeBoer, he said not playing Dillon, of course, in the third was coach's decision. So instead, rookie Radim Šinek is out there with 20 seconds left and gets run. Makes no sense to Kevin Kurz, who tweeted that out. It's just interesting way to play. And hey, it just made February 7th versus Calgary really, really interesting and worth watching. So over the course of that week in hockey, let's get into it, kids. Oh, the good, the bad, the ugly, or as we say here, the...
Oh, yeah.
The...
Anna.
And the...
Really?
So, for our... Oh, yeah. After looking awful versus Anaheim, Hurdle looked really strong at C, at the center, at the pivot, whatever you want to call it, for the next 2 games. And it looks like that's something that's going to continue going forward. Over the limited amount of your hockey that you've been able to watch, Rocket, what have you liked?
You know what? I like that even when the Sharks have been losing, it seems like they're not completely getting blown out. I mean, even New Year's was a bad time, but it wasn't like a complete 8-1 blowout. So whatever.
Yeah, I find it kind of funny that they've lost 3 consecutive games on New Year's Eve, but the last two giving up and 12 goals combined between both of those games.
But I mean, anytime you play Dallas, the goals are going to be stacked up there because, you know, that's just how Dallas plays, is forward heavy and no defense. So it's fun to play forward heavy, no defense back with Dallas, but that can, you know, rack up the goals fast and you can still lose. So I don't know if they had played maybe, oh gosh, I don't know if they had played like Washington one New Year's and then Philly another New Year's, then yeah, I could see how maybe like, oh, they gave up 32 goals in the last two New Year's. This is terrible. That might be something to worry about. But since Dallas is one of those teams, I'm like, ah, whatever, it's a wash.
Oh, and it'd be interesting what those plane rides would be if you're playing New Year's on those. But anyway, so for the, shall we say,
hey now,
the power play kind of dwindling yet again, not looking the best. How about you, Rock? What's your kind of middle of the road here?
I'm gonna say that the penalties are, I think they could tighten them up a bit. Now, I know Kevin LeBanc is going to get sloppy penalties, whether or not he deserves them. It's just sort of like a factor in every Sharks game. It's like Sharks bingo. You check off that box when LeBanc goes to the box for a hooking a high stick or, you know, some stupid sloppy penalty. It's still too many sloppy penalties out there.
It's like death and taxes and a Kevin LeBanc penalty.
Yes.
So
really?
Really? What WTF with Vlasic? I'm just, like, seriously, what is going on? 41 games in and it's I'm seeing no trend of it getting any better. Just none. I'm trying to remember if it was the Edmonton. It was the Edmonton game that Vlasic got burned, I think, twice in that game, like badly burned, just making poor decisions.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, like, didn't even Drew Mendes said something about they played Vlasic up to 20 minutes or something like that. And you can't do that with Mark Edward Vlasic. Like his playing time, he can't go that long and be successful. And I think, he wasn't. Like, even if you ask Ian, Canadian robot, Ian, like years ago, he said that he can't play those high minutes. He's a great shutdown defenseman, but he's got an expiration date. And okay, so here's my other kind of thoughts on the whole Brendan Dillon getting benched in the third deal is what if there was some other stuff going on where they'd kept him off the ice in order to keep drama on the ice from getting worse? You know, like that's the only other thing I can think of, because I don't think it was his play. I don't think he was being benched for any sort of personal thing in his play. I think maybe it was the non-hockey antics that were possibly getting out of control.
Ah, boy. Either way, that's one you'd definitely love to get a real answer on. I'm sure we never will, but...
Yeah, but I mean, it's better just to let it go and move forward. Just work on doing the best in the next game and whooping Calgary's ass the next time we see him.
Yes, I look forward to that. February 7th, people, if you didn't hear it before. So let's move on to those three stars.
Oh, good for you!
And we'll just get it out of the way just, you know, for habit. Jerk takes Couture. Okay, Rocket, yours.
Well, since you told me I can't have Brendan Dillon this week, I'm going to take newly concussed D-man Radim Šimek, because come on, man. Like, how can you not take a hit like that? And after the kinds of games that he's been playing and the contributions he's been making to this team, I think that it's a disappointing way for him to step out of the lineup, and I think he deserves a star of the week.
Absolutely. I'm going to go with the obvious choice, EK65. I mean, over an 8-game stretch, he had more points than any other Shark during that stretch, and he was suspended for 2 of them. That is pretty effing stellar. So EK65, yeah, you get one. And because of that...
Oh, good for you!
And now, boy, there is so much to talk about. So much. Let's do it.
Pizza!
Shark bites! Shark bites!
Pizza.
It'll take. So just announced, the Sharks get 3 representatives for the All-Star Game in San Jose. Burns, Carlson, and Pavelski. No, not Melker. Does that sound about right to you? I mean, the Sharks, the only ones that get 3 representatives as of now, as of what was announced. There's going to be vote-ins and everything like that. I'm sure Couture or Meyer have like a snowball's chance, but those seem like the obvious choices for you, Rock. Is anybody that you're shocked by?
No, I guess it's great that Erik Karlsson is like going to be in the All-Star game, but I don't know. Like it just, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think he's paid his dues as a shark to go to the ASG in teal. That's how uppity I am.
Oh man. I don't know. He had a hell of a December. I mean, he really turned it on.
Brendan Dillon's plus minus is amazing. He should have gone instead. Brendan Dillon deserves to be at the All-Star game instead of Erik Karlsson. And I firmly believe that.
What were you saying about let it go, move on?
I don't care. This is the hill I'm willing to die on, AJ.
Oh, man. Okay. Sure. for shockers for me, I'm a little surprised that Calgary only got one player in, considering that how well they're doing in the Pacific. That is a bit shocking to me. I still haven't fully digested the rosters. They literally just came out like within the last hour. So I'm still kind of taking it all in, but there's definitely, it happens every season, people. There's always the people that go, oh, this person got snubbed, this person. Well, hey, there's somebody that got to go in the Metro because Ovi said, I'm out. Ovi's like, nah, I'm good. Don't need to go to San Jose.
And who saw that coming?
Exactly. And it wouldn't surprise me if someone else pulls the same thing. You know, does Sidney Crosby really need to go again? Maybe he says, nah, I'm good. Who knows? But Hockey Feed has speculated and made an argument for Marleau to return to the Sharks next season. We talked to Drew Remendo about that. He thought that, you know, Toronto is going to have some decisions that they have to make because they're going to have to make deals for Marner and Matthews. And there's a lot of, the other fun thing too, is that come the trade deadline, Toronto's going to have an awful lot of cap space to make some moves this season. So Marleau, who knows? Mike Babcock does have a Joner for Patrick Marleau. We'll see what happens, but where else would you send him if not back to San Jose and try to work out some deal? You would think Doug Wilson would be amenable to that.
Nope. He's going to the Rangers or the Panthers.
What? Holy hell. Where did that come from?
From the same speculative place that this guy says that Marlowe's coming back in teal.
Okay.
The same place, man. If he's allowed to have those kind of LSD fantasies, then I can have mine and say, ooh, it might happen. It's possible. Ooh. Stirring the pot for no reason. Get a real hobby.
Ooh. Rocket on fire today, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about something else. So a quick update for your San Jose Barracuda, who are 3-2 over their last five. Fun fact, they get to play three straight versus the Ontario Reign after a game versus the San Diego Gulls on the 4th of January. Ontario, of course, like the LA Kings, are bottom of their division. Currently, the Barracuda leading their division by 4 points. Now, take that all with a grain of salt because the Barracuda, as a division leader, still at the bottom end of the totem pole when it comes to points on the board. Still playing very well.
Sustainable.
Little surprise, Suomela came in strong and then I don't know that he has a point in the last five games. So we'll hope that Suomela can start to put that together again. So more to talk about.
There's more.
There's even more. That's right, baby. Let's go around the horn and holy hell, is there a lot to talk about. Oh my God, so much to talk about. Is Jim Leitz nuts?
Yes.
I mean, really, you're the CEO of the team and you're going to go and call out Jamie Benn. I was just hung up on Jamie Benn for a second. And Tyler Seguin? Yeah. Are they not playing their best hockey? Sure. Do you do that in public? No. Like, if you want to go into the locker room or the dressing room, whatever you want to call it, after a game and throw a chair and be like, hey, guys, what in the hell is going on? Okay, fine. You don't do that in public.
I agree. And I listened to the Drew Amenda interview, and, you know, he really did have some good insight there. He says, you know, the coaches coach and the GMs manage and the CEOs handle everything else that needs to be taken care of. That wasn't his job. It wasn't his place. And he wasn't helping. Like, he may have been expressing some frustrations on a personal level, but it was 100% unprofessional and 100% inappropriate. And like you said, he didn't help the situation at all. And if they're part of your team, whether you like them or not, and Drew said this too, is that you need them on your side. You know, you need them on your team. You need to be on their team. And I think that's a huge disconnect. I don't know how long it's been like that in Dallas, but I really hope they do get it resolved. And if you haven't listened to the Drew Amenda interview on Teal Town USA, I recommend you do so.
Hey, now.
Going along with front office people that have lost their effing minds, what is Peter Chiarelli doing in Edmonton? We touched on it earlier. You know what? If you have an idea, please do me a favor. Leave it in the comments, whether you're listening in YouTube, SoundCloud, what have you. If there's a comment section, by all means, if you can figure it out, we'd love to hear, because I can't do it. I can't. I don't understand how this guy still has a job. Let's move over from Edmonton over to another Western Canada team that we haven't spoken about in a while, Vancouver. There's speculation that the Canucks are kind of looking to see what might be out there in order to move one Nikolai Goldobin. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Whether it's with the Shark, I thought it with Vancouver, it might change a little bit, but in Rocket, I know we've talked about this. It felt like, for me, Goldobin, his priorities were like, number one, making sure his tan is on point. Number two was like babes. Number three was the beach. And then like a distant fourth was, oh yeah, hockey. And I don't know if any of that changed in Vancouver. Evidently not, if they're already looking to get rid of him. But holy hell, remember that the Sharks traded Yannick Hansen for Nikolai Goldobin. And boy, you want to talk about a trade that worked out for me. Like, that trade could have never have happened and everything would be exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just one of those rare oddities. I love it.
God. Every time you say Yannick Hansen, all I can think of is a guy sitting there with a bucket that lifts three times too big for his head. Like, his lid was always big, man. I don't know why. Maybe he just had a big head.
Let's see what else there is to get into. Were you able to watch the Winter Classic on New Year's Day, people? Hopefully, if you did, you did not run out of food by the first intermission like the venue did, or run out of beer halfway through the second period like the Notre Dame venue did. How do you let this happen, Rocket? But it's not like this is the first time they've ever held a Winter Classic.
No, that's true. Have they ever held it at Notre Dame before, though?
No, but
I mean, yeah, see, and that's
football fans there.
But that's it, though. Like, the thing is you have vendor contracts with specific venues, and if those vendors are not fully prepared, then it doesn't matter how much the venue and everybody else is ready for it. If somebody in that staff, and I mean, they didn't need to use the same vending company that they used for their regular football. Maybe they couldn't. Maybe they needed to get a different because it wasn't in their contract or something like that. I mean, somebody,
maybe the NHL had something to do with it.
Somebody somewhere in food and beverage dropped the ball massively. And whoever did the ordering or the purchasing for that event probably doesn't have a job. If they don't have a job, they definitely are they're in a lot of trouble, because not only is this an embarrassment for the NHL, but that is a huge loss of revenue for that venue. Like, that's ridiculous. So I think that from a professional standpoint, whoever failed to make the correct decisions by, you know, doing the right research or whatever. And that's kind of what it sounds like to me. It sounds like, oh, it's a hockey game, whatever. They're not as bad as football people. How can they be? Let's just do half the dogs and half the beer that we usually do at the bowl game, and it should be good. Like, that's what it sounds like, instead of them actually doing market research and seeing what the numbers are at usually like an outdoor event like that, like at what they were at Levi's or whatever. Like, it doesn't sound like there was any research put into it. It just seems like it was someone made a bad decision based off of a guess and this is what happens. And I really hope they don't have a job now.
Well, and the thing that really kind of draws it to me is Michigan, the Big House, hosted an outdoor game a few years back, and it was completely packed. It was like 107,000 people for a hockey game. Not one person mentioned Michigan running out of food or drink during this game. So, and if you don't know, go get yourself a map. Michigan, Notre Dame, not that far. You would think that maybe they would talk to the people in Michigan and go, so what was about your food and beer ratio? How did that work out for you? I don't know. It, like you said, somebody dropped the ball and they should be, I don't know, scrubbing the socks of AHL players at this point or less. I mean, horrible, horrible decision. I don't understand how you let that happen. But during the Winter Classic, we had a couple of announcements, and it wasn't an announcement about an announcement. Thank God. St. Louis getting the All-Star game next season. So, you know.
Oh, good for you.
Enjoy that. Lord knows you got to have something to hang your hat on besides that beautiful puppy you've adopted in St. Louis, because nothing else is going right for the Blues.
Everything is better with a puppy, AJ. Come on. Yes,
this is true. Also announced that Dallas will get the Winter Classic next season. Interesting thought here. First off, they didn't announce an opponent. That seems very odd to say, okay, Dallas is going to get it, but they don't announce an opponent. They just say it's going to be at the Cotton Bowl. People in Dallas know how to cook and know how to eat. I don't think, and they know how to drink. I don't think we're going to have a problem with food and Bev at the Cotton Bowl next season. Don't think that's going to be a problem.
I hope that's not a problem. Yeah. I think that they're going to dot their I's and cross their T's for this one.
Yeah. And how great would it be if the opponent was the Arizona Coyotes, just to say, hey, here's a little preview of the other hockey team that will be joining us pretty soon once Seattle comes in. That would be fun. But Dallas could be quite interesting because they get some entertaining weather this time of the year. So we'll see if that's able to go off without a hitch, or if it will just be Dallas things. If you remember when Dallas hosted their first Super Bowl at AT&T Stadium, they had like a section collapse that they put in specifically for the Super Bowl, and like seats and stuff collapse. So it's not like Dallas doesn't have a history of quirky things happening with it. So I'm just saying.
We can hope that we don't see another collapse at this event.
No. Could you imagine Jim Lights would then yell at all the fans in Dallas? If you're wearing a Dallas jersey, you're not doing it right.
Yep.
Go sit in the corner with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin if they're still with the team.
You sit there and you think about what you've done.
Exactly.
This is horse poop.
Who was the there was an official, there's audio of it where an official was yelling at I think it was a goalie. Oh no, it wasn't a goalie. It was a player. I'm trying to think. I just remember the audio just going, go get back in your effing net, or get back in the effing box, or something like that. But like a couple times it was awesome. I gotta find that. We need that as a sounder and I'll bleep it.
No, there's some good audio I heard on one of the NHL weirds the other week, where a referee was one of the guys was playing the puck behind the net, killing time, trying to set up his play, and the referee says, get it moving. And the guy behind the net says, I can do whatever I want. And the referee goes, really?
Really?
Yeah. We need the referee going, really? As a soundbite.
Yes. Oh my God. But if you know what I'm talking about with regarding the official telling the guy either to get back in his effing net or get back in the effing box, do me a favor, drop that in the comments, because I forgot about that. I want to hear it again. It was awesome. So the Sharks coming up, and I have a couple games before we speak with you again. At Colorado, they're currently third in their division, six in the conference. Currently, again, another team coming in on a massive losing streak, five games. Not sure what the hell is going on in the Mile High City, but that is your next Sharks game. And after that, the boys come home for a three-game homestand, starting with Tampa. Now, let me just say this now. Please hear me. Share this message with a friend of yours. for the billionth effing time. Here's why this game is starting at 8 p.m. Okay? Levi's Stadium, which is very close to the Shark Tank, is hosting the NCAA Football Championship. There is a media event that SAP is having on Saturday, January 5th during the day. Because of this, it has pushed everything back for the San Jose Tampa Bay game a half an hour. This, my friends, is why the game is starting at 8. Please stop asking.
Wow. That has to be like the latest East Coast start in the history of the NHL.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my but God. There's just been so much speculation because it's Nolan bobblehead night that night. Oh, is Nolan getting his number retired or are they doing something? Is Nolan going to drop the puck? It wouldn't surprise me, actually, if Nolan drops the puck for that game. But still, it's just there's been so much speculation. And it's like, dude, it has nothing to do with the Sharks. Okay. It's just building availability. Share that information with a friend, please. The more you know. Currently on a 6-game win streak, Tampa is 9-0-1 over their last 10. If you thought the Calgary game was hot, the Sharks better be up for this one. We saw that the Sharks played very well against Nashville, twice that they've seen them when Nashville was running things in the Central. Did not look that great against the last time in Calgary, got to be honest. This Tampa Bay game is going to be a great yardstick to see where if this team can actually hang with the big boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Okay.
No, don't know. This team could go out there and be great. This team could go out there and be painful. There's really no telling.
Well, the one thing I'd really want to point out is see how much and how quickly we get things done without Hockey Jerk.
Rude.
I know. It's so rude. We love you, Jerk. We'll see him back next week. Don't you people worry. And hopefully we'll actually get back into our regular routine of Sunday night, Monday morning, always the show coming out within that 24-hour time frame. So look forward to that. Final thoughts on where the people can find you on the Soch, Miss Backhander.
Final thoughts, people. This team gives me feelings. This team does things to me. And right now, this team is making me bristle.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but you tell him.
You can find me on Twitter at rbackhander76. It's capital R, capital B, little backhander76. Or you can check me out on Instagram. It's rocketbackhander, one word. AJ?
Okay, so I am AJ underscore strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram, doing all that type of stuff. Final thoughts. Figure it out, boys. Figure it out. Subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes, whatever podcast catcher you use. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find out about Teal Town After Dark, which is our live post-game show after every single Sharks game. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Teal Town USA. Thank you for listening. We will see you all next time.